Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
I know what you're thinking. Pastor Ron got younger and chubbier since the last time we saw him. But he had an emergency come up. This is not Pastor Ron. This is obviously Shane if you're here in person. Hello, Carolyn. It's good to see you. Love you. I mean, there's nobody in here. If you're from the government and you're watching, there's absolutely nobody in the sanctuary. Pastor Ron had an emergency come up, and he wants to let everybody know that he is truly sorry that he couldn't show up today. But nevertheless, we'll move forward with the word. Amen. It's good to see your faces, Gary. Good to see you. You're looking lovely this morning. I mean, again, Gary, you're not here. This is a hypothetical Gary I'm talking to. I want to thank everybody online that's joined in this morning. Again, as always, you're very much a part of our family and our community. Hopefully you got your coffee going on this morning. I know first thing for me in the morning that I do when I wake up, a lot of people, they pray first thing in the morning, and I think that you would probably expect a pastor to do that. But I feel as though that I can't pray well unless coffee is the first thing that I do in the morning. That is my ritual, so coffee's got to be first. Then we get into prayer. If not, God kind of stops me and says, hey, son, why don't you go get some coffee and then come back and we'll continue this conversation. But I got a word for you this morning. The title of the message is Finding Love. I've kind of been self-evaluating. I think self-evaluation is a good thing. If any of you guys don't do that in your lives, or if any of you are married or have been in relationships of any kind, you know that evaluation is a very important part of any relationship, especially our relationship with God. But let me pray this, and we'll get started this morning. And I just have to give a big shout out to Justin, who just did announcements this morning. He did an amazing job on Wednesday. His message was amazing. So if you didn't listen to that, go back. It's in the archives online, and give that a listen, because he did an amazing job. I love that guy. I got to give him a shout out. But let me pray. We'll dive in, and we'll see what God has to say. Amen? Lord, I thank you. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your strength. We just thank you for life. God, no matter what's going on in the world around us, God, you stay consistent. You are our constant, God. And I pray for those that hear the sound of my voice that have tuned in this morning that maybe feel like life is inconsistent, that they have no idea what the future holds or things may be shaky. I pray that the word right now, your Holy Spirit, would shake them to their core. God, your Holy Spirit says in your word is our helper, and if we ask, you'll send it to us. So I ask that your Holy Spirit would enter every home, that your Holy Spirit would be in the sanctuary, that your Holy Spirit would be on the lawn in advance before we even get there, preparing, Lord, to plant seeds, to water seeds, God. And we rebuke you, Satan, from trying to come in and steal anything. You have no power over us. You may form those weapons, but it says in our word that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen, amen. So as I said, I'm on this journey, this self-evaluating. Those last couple weeks, I started asking myself this question. Am I in love with God? Am I in love with God? And I had a follow-up question to that, is where am I headed? Have you ever asked yourself this, whether you're single or you're married? If you're married or you're in a relationship, in 5 years down the road from now, with what I'm doing right now, the trick, because I believe what we do right now can kind of dictate the trajectory of where we'll be in 5 years, right? Whether we're single or in a relationship, but with what I am doing right now in regards to my relationship with God, where am I going to be in 5 years? If I'm a betting man or a betting woman, or if I'm trying to guess or again traject where I'm going to be in 5 years based upon the health of my relationship with God and what I'm doing right now, in 5 years, am I having a great relationship with God? Am I having a good relationship with God? Am I having a relationship with God? And I think these are real questions that we need to ask, because I would probably guess, and again, up here, if you're wondering if God's grace is sufficient for you, I will always say that I am a walking, talking example of God's grace. If he can use me, he can use you. Trust me. But 5 years down the road, where would we be? Because my guess is that a lot of us, some of us, we're Christians, but we're not sure if we're actually in love with God. We may be in love with the concept of religion. We may actually be people that like to have good morals. We love the morality of Christianity. We love that it keeps us in line and we become good people because of the word and what it does to us. But in actuality, we might find ourselves, if we were having a real conversation, saying, I'm not sure if I'm in love with God. And let me start out by saying this, that's, if you're in that place, that's okay, as long as we're heading in the right direction. Right? God knows our hearts. That's one of the great things, and probably some of the scariest, one of the scariest things, the fact that God knows our heart better than we do, and we don't even have to say anything to him. Well, I started asking myself this question again. Am I in love with God? Where am I headed in 5 years? And it's really based upon Matthew 6, verse 21. It says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. I took this idea even deeper, right? I started to write a list down of things. Shane, what do you do when you're in love? What are some things that you do when you have the feels, right? And I don't want to project this idea that it's all feeling all the time, but I do believe, and those of you, I do believe that those movie marriages, those movie relationships, they exist out there as much as we don't think they do. It's all about how much time and cultivating that we put in, right? But I started writing some of the things that we do when we're in love, and maybe some of you can relate with this. One of the things that I know that, especially at a young age, these youngins, and I say youngins because I can't really keep my eyes open past 11 o'clock anymore, and my eyes are starting to pop open at 7:15 in the morning, all by themselves without a clock. But when we were young, or maybe when we're even older, can you remember having phone calls or phone conversations, or for those of us, I'm not sure how long the phone's been around for, but you would talk on the phone or talk with that person till the wee hours of the morning. And then not only would you talk to them till the wee hours of the morning, you had the ability, especially as a younger person, to stay up till 2 a.m. talking to that person because you were so in love, and then waking up at 7 a.m. and wanting to talk to them again because you already missed them and it had only been a short few hours. Some of the things that we do when we're in love. We talk all day. One of the things I know that I do when I'm in love is that I am vulnerable. This is a very interesting word, because I think women can more relate with being vulnerable than us men can relate with being vulnerable. Because when us men hear the word vulnerable, we automatically start to toughen up and puff the chest out, because we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want anybody to know our weaknesses, the things. If I don't know, ladies, if you're out there and maybe you're in your home right now and you're looking over at your husband or you know, whoever, you've never seen them shed a tear before in their life. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. And I'm not up here trying to admit and confess that I'm an absolute crier. That's neither here nor there. Judge me later on it. But when you're in a relationship and you love and you have these feelings of love, you want to be vulnerable. Another thing that we do when we're in love is we sacrifice. When we're in love with somebody, we want to give up I don't know if you've ever been in this situation, but you want to give up whatever your dreams. Maybe you had goals. Maybe you had dreams. Maybe you wanted to do something. When you're in love with somebody else, you don't even have to ask me to give up these things that I want for what you want, right? And this is where I think the misinterpretation when it comes to Christianity and people coming into the church and becoming followers of Jesus, right? We come in and the first thing we do is say, sacrifice everything for the Lord. You need to sacrifice your life for the Lord. Give up your life for the Lord. And we, as we come in and we consume this message as the church, we begin to try to practice this idea of sacrificing ourselves, sacrificing what we want, sacrificing what our flesh wants for the Lord. And that's how we start this journey, when in actuality, that sacrifice comes naturally when you're in a place of love. And so when you find all of these Christians that have been following God, because first thing in the door they were told to do was sacrifice, they're putting all this work in sacrificing, we get to this place of burnout, and we get to this place where I'm not sure if I even want to do this relationship anymore, because their relationship was founded not on love, but on duty. Now you can argue that duty could lead to love after a while, but the point we're making today is love is the beginning. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, it says this: we love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. It means the fact that he loves us so much, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The fact that God loves us so much, we as human beings, when we receive that love and understand that love, we can't help but to reciprocate that love back. God loves us so much, it's like, God, I want to sacrifice. What do you want me to sacrifice for you? God, you love me so much. You know me so much, right? I'll tell you every weak part that's inside of my heart and my being and my body, because I trust you and I feel comfortable with you. God, you love me so much. I want to talk to you all day. I want to tell you all my problems. I want to tell you what I'm thinking, my goals, my dreams, right? This is the type of relationship that God desires for all of us to have. You might be listening today online or here. Actually, there's nobody here. You might be listening today online and say, I don't feel that way. I don't have that type of feeling. And again, I want to reiterate that that's okay, because if you're chasing after God, right, if we're pursuing God, he's going to get us. I love these quotes. This quote says, love and compassion are necessities, not luxuries. Without them, humanity cannot survive. Oscar Wilde said, keep love in your heart. A life without it is like a sunless garden when the flowers are dead. C.S. Lewis said, affection is responsible for 9/10 of whatever solid and durable happiness there is in our lives. And a famous quote by Jesus Christ says, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So as I ask myself these questions, right, am I in love with God? I'm evaluating my relationship, because again, reiterating, if you are in a relationship of any kind, you know that self-evaluation is the key to a healthy relationship, because when we self-evaluate, we're able to project where this relationship is going. And sometimes when I self-evaluate or evaluate my relationship with God, the trajectory of where my relationship is going isn't a very healthy future. And I have to remind myself of a few things over and over again. Again, I know this seems like elementary or a basic type of idea, but I believe that genuine love, genuine following of Christ comes out of first falling in love with God. If we've gotten to a place where ministry is the number one thing that we're doing, or we're trying to work for God, or we find ourselves in a place that so often those of us that are a little hard-headed and we screw up more often than others, we find ourselves in this place of earning right? Earning the good place and a good standing with God again. Whenever we find this, it is so good to take a step back and go, I need to fall at the feet of Jesus again, like Mary. Some of us, we become Marthas and we don't even know it, when Christ is calling us to be Marys. But the first thing that I have to remind myself, and my first point this morning, is that he knows me. God knows you. God knows you. Think about this for a second. I've been talking to the young adults the last couple weeks about this idea. In Psalms 139, these verses 1 through 14, it paints this idea perfectly, better than I could ever put into words. So if bear with me as we read this together. I encourage you to read this often in this next couple weeks. But it says, O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me, God. You know when I sit down. You know when I get up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? We can't hide from God. What are you trying to hide from God? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell on the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not too dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you, for you formed my inward parts and you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Matthew 12:7, it even goes as far as to say that God knows the very hairs on your head. God knows the very hairs on your head. Some of us, that's fewer than others, granted. But when we started out with that full head of hair, God even knew then. It's this idea that God knows everything. The definition of know, if you know me and have been around for any period of time, you know I love definitions. The definition of know is have developed a relationship with someone through meeting and spending time with them. What's crazy is I was talking to this Bible study and I was telling them, you know, we all have a best friend, or hopefully you all have a best friend. If you don't have a best friend, I'd say I'd be your best friend, but I'm not a very good best friend. So I'll think of something and get back to you. But you have definitely a family and friends here at the church. But I told them all, we all have that one person, whether it's a family member or a friend, that we feel as though we tell them everything. How many people have this person in their life where you've told them everything, right? And I challenged the Bible study. I said, you probably haven't told them everything. Like really, everything. Because I feel as though, if you can relate with me, that there are some things that if we feel, even if we told the closest person to us everything about ourselves, we would feel as though that person might not love us, accept us, want to be around us anymore. The fact that God knows even those parts shows that he loves us. In Romans, I love this verse. And in some translations, there's a specific word, right? But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, in some translations, I love it. It says, while we were still sinners. While we were still sinning. While we were still sinning, God sent his son to die for us. It's for me to love somebody, to know that somebody loves me enough to sacrifice the most important thing for them, not when I'm doing good, not when I'm at my best, not when I'm good Shane, friendly Shane, trustworthy Shane, dependable Shane, loving Shane, likable Shane. No, when I'm still in the worst of the worst Shane, God said, I want you. That tugs on my heartstrings. God knows exactly where you are. If you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for 5 years and you feel like, man, I'm stuck in this kind of valley of sin. And I know J2 spoke well about it the other night, right? We have to not have this mindset of just throwing our hands up in the air and saying, well, I might as well continue on with this. But this attitude, we get in these battles of the flesh and we beat ourselves up, right? And we've been in this place and we think like, there's no way that God loves me. God says right here, I loved you while you were still sinning. Still sinning. Matthew 18, 12 through 13. What do you think? If any man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go and search for the one that is strayed? If it turns out that he finds it, truly I say to you, highlight this next sentence, he rejoices over it more than over the 99 which have not gone astray. Not gone astray. In John 4, we all know this, probably this parable very well. And if you don't, I'll paraphrase it for you. But in John chapter 4, we see Jesus, he's traveling. And it says he's traveling through Samaria, which was a place where the Jews didn't associate with Samaritans. Samaritans were the dirty, mixed breed type of people. Jews were very, for lack of a better word, they were racist, you know. And they didn't associate with certain types of people. Jesus walks directly in to that center of area. It said that he had to, in some translations, it said that he had to go through Samaria. He must go through Samaria. And we see this picture here where Jesus rests by this well and this woman comes out who turns out to be a prostitute, right? Of sorts, right? Maybe not a prostitute, but she's had a lot of stuff been going on in her life. And there's this picture or this idea that when Jesus asks her this question that I want us to grasp onto this morning. Go ahead and put that verse back up. In John 4:15, they're in the middle of this conversation. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water, this living water. Jesus is talking to her about this living water. And she says, give me some of this water so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw water again. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, you have answered correctly by saying I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands. Some of you ladies out there, you're going like, I can only handle 1 husband. I don't know how this lady could handle 5 husbands. Because let's just face facts. Us men, we're difficult. Ladies, you guys are perfect, right? And the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. What I want you guys to grasp from this conversation is that Jesus knew this woman. Jesus knew this woman, her everything. Jesus knew this woman, and his first intention when having a conversation with this woman was not to, hey, I want you to tell me all of your sins. I want you to repent. I want you to earn all of these things back, right? He does tell her to go and repent, but the idea that he wants more than anything, God is bigger than sin. God wants to know, he wants us to know him. And with his interaction with this woman at the well, where we would expect, okay, Jesus is now going to start grilling this woman over her sin. His main intention in this interaction with this woman is to let her know about the love and the redemption that is going to be coming through him. And his desire is for her and everyone else that she'll come in contact with to know him. Because I believe that God knows that when we fall in love with him, the behavior that we so desperately, painstakingly strive on a daily basis to perform will become a genuine act that follows in that love that we have for him. It almost frees us from this burden of trying to behave. When we come to know God, what's crazy is that's when we can confide in him. When you know somebody and you know that they know you and you find yourself in this amazing relationship, you find yourself being able to confide. You can find yourself being able to be yourself, to depend on them. The second point this morning is he is for me. In this pursuit of me self-evaluating and wanting to fall in love with God, I have to remind myself first and foremost that God knows Shane. And secondly, after I get to the point where I'm like, okay, God, you know me, you know all the crud, you know all the good, you know all the in-between, now I have to remind myself that not only does he know me, he supports me. God is for me. God wants me to succeed. God wants me to flourish. He is for me. Romans 8:28-31 says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. And verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Another word for for is this word support. Definition of support is this: to bear all or part of the weight, to hold up, give assistance to, especially financially, enable to function or act. When you think of this idea of for and support, when I think of things that I like to support, we all like to support things, right? Some of us support our local businesses like we're doing today, our plus one. We're gonna take a plus one as a community, as a church. We're gonna take that plus one and we are going to support, we are going to assist, hold up, help bear the weight financially for some of these local businesses here in town, right? Some of us support third world country missionary projects, right? Some of us love it, the idea of building fresh wells or schools or churches in third world countries. We can get behind supporting these things. And no matter what it is that you support or that you're for, a lot of us can agree that what we see worth in, those are the things, the good things that we see that are worth our support, those are the things that we're for. But what's bad about this is that we correlate that with ourselves. Because how often do we come to a place in our walks with God where we feel not worth something, but we feel worthless? And when we start to feel worthless, that's the point where we feel like God is no longer for us and supports us. He is now in this waiting mode, almost as if his arms are crossed, going like, well, when you're done being you and you get out of that hole you're in, then I'll start supporting you again. When the fact of the matter is that God sees us as worth something, whether we are in a good place or a bad place, his mentality, his love for us never changes. It never fails. He always wants us to succeed. He always sees the best in us. In Philippians 1-6, chapter 1, verse 6, he says that he's not going to finish, or he will finish what he started, rather. I'm paraphrasing a verse, but in verse 6, chapter 1, Philippians, let me clear that all up. He says, I am going to finish the good work that I have started in you. But when we think about this idea of support, we think about good things, right? Even when we read verses like this, 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his, right? I remember, I don't know if you've ever felt support by anybody before, and in closing, I'll share this story. I've told you many times before that my grandparents raised me. They didn't have to raise me, right? I was thrown in their lap, per se. But when I was thinking of this idea, I've been supported by many people in many different ways in my life, and I love many people for that support that they've given me. But when I think back, my grandparents, they took me in and they supported me not only financially, they supported me in my dreams. They pushed me, they were there for me. And I think about, you know, when I was little, I was a stinker like any other little kid. But I remember when I got into high school, that's when I started drifting away. I started hanging out with the wrong types of people. And I'll never forget the love that my grandparents consistently showed me when I drifted away to do my own thing. Through my entire high school years and into my early 20s, I did my own thing. And can I tell you, any time that I called my grandparents or any time they reached out to me, there was never a conversation of condemnation, a conversation of any shaming. They were consistent. And I just visited my grandparents, and I wish I could visit them more. You know, they're in a home, and during this lockdown, I called them and I told them, I said, "Hey, Grandpa," I said, "if they're trapping you in here," I said, "you just give me the word over the phone, the code word, and I'll come break you out of that place and we'll get you an apartment." But we had this conversation and my grandpa looked at me and he said, "You know what, I'm proud. I'm so glad. And I always knew that you would come full circle." Conversation I just had yesterday or the day before yesterday. And it fits so perfectly with this idea of who God is and what he thinks of us, is that he knows no matter where you're at in your relationship that we're going to come full circle if we're children of him. Because he supports us and he believes in us and he's for us. So I encourage you as you move forward in your walks with God to self-evaluate often, to get back to this place of being in love with God, and let that be the driving force of your behavior, your ministry, your earthly relationships. Because when we come to a place where we genuinely are in love with Christ, everything else is going to be better. Amen? Let me pray this. Lord, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this time. God, I thank you that you're patient with us. I thank you that you know us, and with you even knowing us, God, you love us. You love the people that maybe they've been in their marriage, they've been fighting at home. Maybe some cuss words have been flying. Maybe some excessive beer cracking open has been happening. God, maybe there's people that are listening online where abuse has happened. And they feel worthless. Maybe there's someone that's caught in pornography and they feel as though they know better, but they can't find their way out because they don't believe that they're good enough. So they've just thrown their hands up. God, I pray that their ears would hear the fact that you know them, that you love them, and you know that they will come full circle. And let that, as 1 John 4 says, because you loved us first, that will then be reciprocated, because how can we run away or deny or get away from your love or not be affected by it? Your love is amazing. Your love is amazing, God. Your love gives us the ability to forgive unforgivable things. Your love gives us the ability, Lord. I love you. I pray that you would spark a fire at VBF in every person here, whether they're in California or anywhere across the United States or the world. God, I pray that you would just light a fire in us.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Give us like